Well, tonight we're going to look at a few portions of Scripture. I'm not going to say too much because it's going to be a different type of service this evening. We want to think of mission, serving in our own country, serving overseas, and I want to stir you up. We're going to read some passages to start with, and I'm going to comment on them. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 15. The apostle says this: "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." God makes no distinction between the Jewish person and the Greek person. He doesn't favoritize. He's rich to all. And anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, verse 13, will be saved, whether you're Jew or Greek. We saw last week, didn't we, how Spurgeon said if God had put a yellow stripe on the back of the elect, he would lift up the shirt tails of every person, see that yellow stripe and preach to them. But it's not like that, is it? We don't know who are God's elect, but whoever believes in him, whoever calls upon his name in truth will be saved. But then we read this in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So how can they call upon a saviour that they know nothing about and haven't believed in him? They will not call upon him. "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" How can they believe in Jesus and name him Lord and confess him as saviour if they've never heard of him? How then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Because faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. They need to hear, and so they need a preacher. That might be a public preacher, it might be a private preacher, but everybody needs to hear the gospel. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? We need to pray that God will raise up people, sending them out. How should they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." We have a message which is good news for all the world. It's a gospel of peace and it's glad tidings. It tells sinners that there is hope in Jesus Christ. They're condemned by the law of God, but there's one who's fulfilled the law on their behalf, one who's died in their place, one who's taken their sin and their judgment, and one who's risen again, the Saviour of the world. And if they come to him, they will be saved. And that's the good news. It's a promise. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's a simple message and yet a profound message. And if you believe tonight, though you might feel that you're the vilest sinner, you will be saved. Then if you turn with me to John 17, verses 15 to 20. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed on the night in which he was crucified, on the night before he was crucified. We read this, it's part of the prayer. John 17, 15, Jesus said, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." I'm not praying for my disciples that they would just be taken straight up to heaven, out of the world. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one." We're to pray, aren't we? "Give us this day our daily bread. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We're to pray that God would deliver us from the devil. And Jesus has prayed that you would keep them from the evil one. We have a real enemy. Jesus speaks of his disciples. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." We've been plucked out of this world. We're not in darkness. We've been given a new nature. We're in the light. We're not of the world. We're heavenly. We're destined for heaven. "They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth." When we hear God's word preached, when we read the word of God, And when it's applied to our heart, God conforms us to the image of Jesus. He transforms us. He sanctifies us by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's staggering, isn't it? As Jesus, the Son of God, was sent out of heaven into a world which would reject him, which would crucify him, as he came to this world of tears and of pain, a world of sin, as he came into our shoes and took upon himself human flesh, as the Father sent him from the glory of heaven, from the communion of heaven, from the bliss of heaven into this sin-sick world. So we have been sent. We're not to stay in our holy huddles, are we? We love communion, we love fellowship, and it's important. But we've been sent out into a world that will reject us and despise us. We may feel like lambs among wolves, but we have been sent. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. What a wonderful promise. We've been sent out into this world. Some are sowing, others are reaping. But there will always be times of reaping. It may be following generations. It might be during our generation. It might be in this country, not in that country. But there will always be others who believe in Christ. We could say there's never been so many Christians as there is today, if you added up all the numbers of Christians in the whole world. God is doing a staggering work in Iran. God is doing a wonderful work in many countries in the world. And Jesus was praying not only for his disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So we need to pray, Lord, use us to sow seeds, and may it be that others believe in your word through us. And then John 20, verse 21, Jesus is raised from the dead. He appears several times to his disciples, and on one of his appearances, he said, we read this, he showed them his hands, his side. And then verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We heard that, didn't we, in John 17. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Of course, the apostles had a special calling, and they were to go out and preach with the power of the Holy Spirit, but it didn't end there when the apostles died, did it? God continues to send out his people into this world, and we need to pray for boldness and pray that God would raise up people full-time into this work. Let's read Matthew 9 to close. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus wasn't confined to one space. He kept going from town to town, village to village, in all their synagogues and in the open air, continually preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. When we see the masses of people around us, how do we view them? Do we see them as just rebellious people? Do we see them as difficult people, hard people? Do we see them as people who are part of our culture and we don't like our culture? And something riles us about the people around us. Are we Pharisaical? Or do we see them as people who are struggling, they're weary? They're like sheep who should be following the true shepherd, but they have no one to guide them, no one to lead them. They're scattered. Do we have compassion upon them? Jesus had great compassion. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. He could see what was coming, the Spirit coming at Pentecost. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands afterwards. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." How many things does the Bible tell us to pray? Perhaps there aren't that many detailed things that we're told to pray about if you think of absolute clear specific things. But here's one specific thing. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into his harvest field. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody from our church was set apart by God, called by him, and we as a church recognize that call and sent out, maybe a couple, maybe an individual. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that happened, whether overseas, whether in our country, but felt the need to give up secular job and to serve in that way? Let's pray, maybe from our church, maybe from other churches. Lovey at Aberystwyth met a man and he said to me, nearly 55, be 55 next year, and I think God is calling me to leave my profession now. I was with him at Bible college many years ago, and at least for the last 10 years of my life, me and my wife want to just serve God in whatever form. I said, is that overseas or is it in this country? He said, wherever God takes us. Sometimes we think it's only the young, don't we? But here's somebody say, I'm ready now, a very successful profession, done very well. But God is calling me. I felt it during lockdown, he said. And he really wanted to tell me that. Somebody from one of our churches, let's pray that God would raise up more from our churches and from other churches, and we would see others entering into the harvest field. And pray for Josh. The moment he's working without pay, just serving the Lord, relying upon the gifts of Christians. And maybe the Lord will place him in a church. Maybe he'll continue to do what he's doing. Maybe he'll do, but let's pray for him as he's with us this time. But each one of us, we have a part to play, whether it's a full-time call. In one sense, we're all full-time, but you know what I mean, giving up your secular job and serving God in that way. Let's all be faithful in the calling that we have to be light and to be salt, because there's no one else that can be light and no one else that can be salt, only you and I.